Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
I want us to look at a word that appears in the Bible 105 times. And it's a word that you are no doubt familiar with. You may have even used that word today, and that word is faithful. I want to look at the word faithful. But 105 times in a time allotment such as this would not really suffice, although we could do it. 54 times in the Old Testament, that's still a lot of times to do. 51 in the New, that's still a whole lot to do. But I want to look at some of them in the New Testament. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. I want to use this as a launching pad. And not only are we going to talk about the word faithful, more specifically, one individual who is faithful. Notice here, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. Timothy says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." That's verse 12. Keep going. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. That he himself, talking about God Almighty. I want us to talk about in our allotted time the fact that God is faithful. And as you and I will come to an understanding, or hopefully maybe a better understanding of the fact that God is faithful, we will see that it is imperative that God is faithful. Because everything that God has promised that he would ever do, he has done. And the only one he's waiting to do is send Jesus Christ back. But I have a full assurance of faith because he hasn't made bad on any other promise that he will be faithful on this final promise that one day, in haste, Lord Jesus, come quickly, that he will return to us. See, God is faithful, and I've got five quick areas. They won't take long. God is faithful. Number one, flip back a few books, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. Almost right there at the end of the book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Notice how Paul begins right before he closes the letter. Really the last thing he says before his benediction. Number one, "Faithful is he that calleth you and also will do it." God is faithful, number one, to fulfill. See, God has said all these things. And then God is also the fulfillment arm. God has said that he was going to send his son to be born of a woman, born under the law. And God was faithful and he fulfilled that. Back to the story of Genesis. He told Adam and Eve, "If you eat of this fruit, you will surely die." And they did. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. God fulfilled that promise. Now that wasn't a positive fulfillment for them, but nonetheless, he fulfilled it. Go to Genesis chapter 6 with Noah. And God, you don't have to actually flip there, but with Noah, God said, "It's going to rain." And God was faithful. After Noah had built the ark, he fulfilled it with the promise of rain. From what we can tell, arguably the first time of rain throughout the entirety of the Old Testament. God said, "If you are faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. If you're not faithful to me, I won't be faithful to you." And what do we see time and time again? The Israelites would be faithful with God, and then they would decide to go their own way, and they'd turn away from God, and they start suffering punishments, and then they cry out to God for help, and then they get back to the top of the circle, and everything is good with God because he's faithful to them, and they're faithful to him. And then they would deny, and I just drew you the entire of the Old Testament. As they just keep going in a cycle, on and on and on. Everything that God has promised, he has fulfilled. He, number one, is faithful to fulfill. Number two, go to the 2 Thessalonican letter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 3. What else is God faithful to do? "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Number two, God is faithful to protect. Now, we don't have God physically in front of us holding a shield, of course. We know that. But that's the idea, spiritually speaking. He is our shield. Go back through and read all the Psalms, all 150 of them. And frequently God is depicted as our fortress, our rock, our place of safety, our shield, our buckler. God is faithful to protect. We're told if we put on the whole armor of God, we might be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, that's protection. But I have to have on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6. I can't just choose the shield and the sword, because then my head's not protected, because my waist isn't protected, because my feet aren't protected. I've got to put on the whole armor of God. And when I am in Christ, that's the thesis of Ephesians, when I am in Christ, He does protect. Now, is God going to make it where if I'm a Christian and if I'm faithful to Him and I put my hand on a red hot stove, is He going to make it where I don't get burnt? Well, no, certainly not. That's not the kind of protection that He offers. But He offers safety in this world. We have hope as an anchor, Hebrews 6, that is our constant in an ever-changing world. So number two, God is faithful to protect. And don't you dare go home and put your hand on the stove and get burns and complain. I'm not responsible for that one. Number three, go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. What else is God faithful to do? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, as John pens one of his epistles, he wrote five total books in the New Testament. And this is the first of the epistles that we have. 1 John 1, 9 is conditional. If, that means there's something I must do on my end for God to make good on His end. So what's my end? If we confess our sins, that means number one, I have to know what sin is. Number two, I have to acknowledge that I have sinned. And number three, I have to be willing to change. If we confess our sins, notice, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's not all. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, God is faithful to forgive. God is faithful to forgive. I'm afraid we in the church, by and large, it's not everybody, this is not every time, but I feel like we don't emphasize the fact that God is faithful to forgive. Because in the world doesn't want you to forgive or to forget. The world wants you to hold on to every mistake that you've ever made. They want to hold it over your head and ruin your day with it. But that's not how God is. If we confess, see, conditional. If I admit that I am a sinner like David did in Psalm 51, purge me for I have sinned. If I am willing to admit that I have sinned and I am a Christian, He is going to forgive my sin. But notice, go back to verse 7, I'm already following after Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. See, I've already got to be living the life. I've already got to be walking the walk and talking the talk. And then if I confess that I have sinned, He will forgive. By the way, if you think you've never made a mistake, verse 8 says you're deceiving yourself. Because, right, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We must confess when we have done wrong.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
But thanks be to God, number three, He is faithful to forgive. Remember that time that you said something that you shouldn't have 20 years ago? Well, you don't have to, because God forgot about it. If you ask for forgiveness, God has forgiven you. God's not like an elephant. They say elephants never forget. I don't read that about God. God is willing to forgive and forget if you turn it over to Him the way He says. Now, you can't just say, well, God, I want to keep living a sinful life and You deal with it. No. If we confess, He will forgive. Number four, go to 1 Corinthians 10, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You can probably quote this one. Number four, God is faithful to do what? He will provide. Notice here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, a lot in our religious world want to misapply that verse every way. I think just about the way it's supposed to go. But notice, first off, I love that first line. The first line is not even what we're talking about. There had no temptation taken you such as is common to man. You ever felt like you were the only person that's ever dealt with this temptation? Well, you're not. You're not. And there are other faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who have overcome that temptation, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pornography, whether it's missing service, whatever that temptation is, seeing somebody that you're not married to, whatever that temptation is, you're not the first person to be tempted with it. And if they overcame it, you can as well. But God is faithful. He provides a way of escape. Now, sometimes that is a difficult way for you and I. Sometimes to get ourselves out of the mess we're in, it's going to take a lot of growth and a lot of study. Sometimes the way out of our mess that we're in, so to speak, you might have to change who you hang out with. You might have to change where you go and what you do. But that's a way out. Here's something else I've noticed before we moved on. Everybody's always looking for that proverbial door that opens. You know, when one door closes, one door opens. If that's your car, that's a problem, right? Because they're all supposed to stay closed. But sometimes I've noticed, the window is the way of escape. Sometimes our way of escape may not be the way we think it is, but there's always a way out of every situation. And sometimes the best way of getting out of a situation is not putting yourself there in to start with. If I know I have a problem with alcohol, I'm not going to go hang out in a beer cave at one of the gas stations because there's temptation there all around me. I'm going to avoid every appearance of evil. Number four, God is faithful to provide. But let's go to number five, to the Hebrew letter, if you will. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the middle, if you will, of the lettuce passage of Hebrews 10. By lettuce, I don't mean romaine or iceberg. I mean the phrase "let us," because we see it in 22, 23, 24. And that idea continues on into verse 25, although that phrase is not necessarily there. Notice here what the Hebrew author says, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Let's pause. Let's get to the faithful part in a moment. When I think about without wavering, John did a wonderful job, in my opinion, reading in James chapter 3. In James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the seashore, driven with the wind and tossed." If we are wavering, we're waffling. We're going back and forth. It's like the waves. Waves over here 1 minute, then it's over here 1 minute. And then the waves all day long are going to repeat this process. Sometimes they move a lot, sometimes they move a little. "Let us hold fast without wavering." We are supposed to be steadfast. In Hebrews 6, he's already mentioned we have that anchor. Think about a boat. You put an anchor so the boat doesn't move with the waves. Keep going. "For he is faithful that promised." Oh, kind of back to where we started, aren't we? God is faithful, I should say, in fulfilling all the promises that he has made. Every single one of them. Some might say, "Well, I could read that in my Bible, and God is faithful, but he can't be faithful to me because I'm just such a wicked person." Well, we've already read, "There's no temptation taking you such as common to man." We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. God forgave a man who called himself the chief of all sinners. His name was Saul, turned into Paul. God forgave him for killing people. God forgave so many people throughout the New Testament for doing wicked things. And God can forgive you as well, because he's faithful that promise. He's faithful with the promise to provide, to forgive, to protect, and fulfill. Let's key in on that promise I started out with. He has promised he's going to send his son back. And dear friends, you better be ready. If you're not ready, you need to get ready and then stay ready. You get ready by becoming a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Every time in the book of Acts we see somebody become a Christian, that's what they do. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. I don't read of any other way. I don't read of any sprinkling. I don't read of any pouring. I don't read of anybody voting somebody to be saved. They all became a Christian one way, and that's the way you and I become a Christian, having our sins washed away. And then we remain faithful to the very end. Then that's the promise. If you're faithful to the end, I'll give you a crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.